standing in the rain with his head hung low. Couldn't get a ticket, it was a sold out show. Heard the roar of the crowd, he could picture the scene.
Little guttural scream after a Padres victory in the Windy City last night. Welcome in, Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan, so great to be here with you this morning. My name is Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning, and I would like to start with a very special greetings to the newest Tier 1. Tier 1 Tyler and his wife welcomed their third baby this morning.
That's not smart.
Yeah, no. 4 a.m. He texted me. He goes, "You're the only person that knows because you're the only person that I know that's awake
right
now."
That's awake, yeah.
But huge congratulations to them when he listens to this. He's usually about 3 days behind.
Okay.
He listens every second of every show.
Happy Friday, then, to you, yes. Tyler, and your missus and your new baby.
Yes.
And warmest congratulations. That said, you're now outnumbered. Hopefully, how old are his other kids?
I would say 6 and 2.
Not quite old enough to, like, pass the littlest one off to the oldest one and say, no. Mom and I are going out for drinks. You got this.
Not
see you later.
Quite.
Not quite.
Six.
Almost.
Like seven, yeah.
Seven.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
We can take care of the baby.
These kids don't know what it was like. Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins
Good
us
morning.
As well.
We both stopped at two.
Yeah, yeah. No brainer. No brainer. No chance.
Like medically stopped.
Medically
at two.
Stopped at two. spiritually stopped at two. All of that. It's just not going to happen. It's my wife gets these, you know, 1 week, absolutely not the next week. We should adopt one. And I'm like, please no. I'm begging you. Like, we can barely take care of the ones that we have. Barely. I mean, we are hanging by a thread with the two that we have. It's a very difficult scene. But Tyler and his wife and their family, congratulations to them. You know, these kids, though, they don't know what it's like. I mean, I started staying home alone at like 8. Like, I knew how to make full meals on the stove by 8 years old, easily. Like, I can't remember coming home from school having anyone home, ever, really. I mean, so, you know, things are a little bit different these days, and I get that. Also wanted to start the program with some warm congratulations for our pal Jake Cronenworth, who we found out over, you know, after the game last night, is now engaged. He's an engaged man. And the news did not go over very well in my home this morning. Hannah was asleep when the Instagram came out. But he is getting engaged to, or is engaged to, a very, very lovely woman named Brooke. And he looks very handsome, and they look like a sharp couple. And I woke up this morning. Jenny sent me a DM on Instagram and said, probably would be smart to do a segment for all the brokenhearted women in San Diego to call in about Crony's engagement. The hotline's yours, 833-288-0973. We'll try to walk you through it, but.
So this didn't happen last night after the game. In fact, he shared and said, we've enjoyed the last few months celebrating with our friends and family, but thought it was time to share with the world, we're engaged. Can't wait to do life with you, Jake Cronenworth. That was Brooke's post.
Yeah. What do you think he's going to enjoy most about being married? I think it's going to be him learning how to redo all the things that he already has been doing for years and do it the right way. Like, you know, Crony, when you put a dish in the dishwasher, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. You didn't know that before you got married. I didn't know that. I just would put it in the way that I always had. And then I learned later, many years later, I did it wrong. So I think he's going to enjoy that part of it. I enjoy that part of marriage very much. Learning new things along the way. Not new things. How to do better the things that you've already known how to do your whole life. Like, he'll probably learn, now you want to, on a slider, you're going to want to get the hands through a little quicker, right? And he's like, I'm actually having a pretty good year, kind of barreling balls and stuff, but that's fine. I'd be happy to take your advice on that. Well, what's he going to love the most about marriage?
I mean, it's pretty cool. Like, when you get married, you get to have sexual intercourse with your wife
all
every
the time.
Single night.
It's like, you don't,
every night.
The hunt is over. That's the best part of, like, man, those days about, like, looking for food. I don't have to. There's a meal here every night, and they're so willing and giving of it. And you sit back, you're like,
this is almost too much.
I am full. I am so full. I can't eat anymore. I couldn't if I wanted to. That's the other best part. Crony, you're set. You're set there.
For sure.
How about
just
you?
Just the constant peace and quiet.
The constant peace and quiet, yes. It's drama-free. It's the best part. I'm so happy for him. It's just the best. It's the best. You're going to be so happy that you did this. My wife was obviously crushed this morning when I woke up and I saw her tweeting. That's enough internet for me. Hey, she got tagged, I don't know, 55,000 times on Twitter yesterday. He's all up and down this poor woman Brooke's Instagram feed. She's tagged in it. And I'm like, oh, God. I did have one of my most banger tweets of all time last night. I posted the picture. I wished him congratulations. Then I quote tweeted myself and said, so will his wife start lusting after sports radio hosts now? Is that how this works? And a lot of people say, yeah, but what if it's Ben? It's fine. I don't expect it to be me.
I'm looking fresh. Got a new haircut. Thanks to Will.
I didn't even notice.
Well, that's good. That means it was a good haircut.
Is that true?
I think if it's so obvious that you just got one, that's probably not a great haircut.
I disagree entirely.
I'm going on Thursday, and you will know on Friday.
You guys ever see my hair this long, ever?
I noticed it's the baseball game. I was like, "Damn!" You took off your helmet,
and it was straight up. I'm not doing it.
You kind of got the reverse mullet, long in the front and short in the back.
I mean, it's just normal hair.
It's trimmed in the back, but it looks longer in the front.
It's always shorter in the back,
right?
A reverse mullet. It's not hanging down over my face though.
It's getting close.
Party in the front, business in the back.
Yes, I'm going to go in and say, give me the Morgan Wallen, please. Can you give me the Morgan Wallen? I'm begging you. I think when you get a haircut, you want people to notice you got a haircut. I don't think the mark of a good haircut is, hey, it looks like I didn't even get a haircut. Right?
Everyone seems to agree with you. And no one can tell. Ben, your hair looks exactly the same.
It looks exactly. You got a haircut yesterday?
Yeah.
I'm blown away. I really am.
Thought Will did a great job.
Paulie, if you could pull a screenshot from yesterday. He's working on it as we speak. We can do a side-by-side. But listen, I'm very happy for Jake. Jake is the most solid dude. He's just solid as it gets, and I'm just so happy for him. They do make a really beautiful couple. He looked really sharp. And
we credit Jake's turnaround, perhaps,
maybe,
to finding, you know, newfound happiness and comfort in his life?
Yeah, I think sometimes when a person finds that, like, the grounding, you know, my kids did that for me. They grounded me like crazy. I was talking with some other parents over the weekend about just how wild life used to be for me, especially. It was a lunatic. And I gave a lot of credit to my wife, a lot of credit to this job, and a lot of credit to my kids. Because you can't live the way I lived and do this job, be married, and have kids. You can't do it. Like, it doesn't, it's impossible. You'd be fried. And but I do think that there's an aspect of that, of like, sitting down and reevaluating and sitting down and, you know, making it right.
Well, now you know you've got to provide for others. So you can't simply say, hey, if I fail, it's just on me. I'll figure it out. Once you have a family, the pressure's on. You've got to keep providing for others. And, you know, that can be stressful for some people, but it can be motivating for other people.
I think he's good for a while. He's got a knife, and I think they're going to have a pretty good life. That's my guess. But very, very cool news for Jake Cronenworth. And yeah, I like I said, a lot of people, it took a lot of people by surprise. A pretty private guy. You hadn't really seen any pictures or anything like that in public, but love it, man. Jake the Rake comes through again. Very well done, sir. Looking forward to saying congratulations in person. And yeah, if you guys do want to call and get it off your off your chest, lady. Hearts are breaking all over San Diego this morning. Right?
Yeah. I usually wait to set the menu until our second segment, but I do think it is worth noting because we did not promote it yesterday extensively. But we will have Padres President of Baseball Operations and General Manager A.J. Preller joining us late in the show today.
Morning, guys.
Hey.
A.J. is going to call in around 9:30, and we're going to chat with him, obviously, about the Arise trade and recent moves that the team has made and anything else that might still be in the works. A lot of talk about whether pitching is still required. There's the side-by-side that Paulie has put up from me.
You're telling me
completely
you got a haircut.
Different. Well, do you see the one that I got cut there? That was
that one straggler.
Yeah, and now it's gone.
That must have been the quickest haircut of all time. You walk in, he goes snip, snip, and you're done. All right, see you later. I literally can't tell that you got a haircut at all. You used a different filter yesterday. You had your jaundice filter on yesterday. Today you do not. He did. Look at it. I'm going to see if I can put the jaundice on me.
You have it on already.
Do I?
You both do.
Yeah, Ben had his. Ben's got his hepatitis.
You know, it's funny. I did. I said it's been a little extra long since I've had a haircut. Can you take a little more off? He said the usual half inch. And I said, can you do more like 3/4 to an inch off the top? You know, I got it clippered on the sides.
How much did
number
this
four.
Cost you?
That haircut better have been $3.
It was $30. I had the free upgrade to the MVP because I had filled out all my punch cards. So
sport clips? Sport
yeah. It's where I go. It's right by my house.
Just watching. What'd you watch?
You know, I don't know if I ever told you. I was going to, for the Christmas and holiday extravaganza, Ben's gift was going to be a live on-the-air haircut from my barber. And I thought, he's got TV. Like, I can't just change the guy's hair without him knowing and volunteering for it. But someday, I will get a barber down here, and we're going to get you a real haircut.
Like a real sexy one.
I've tried a couple of times. It doesn't go well. I like my standard, very uninteresting haircut.
Andros in the chat says, Ben literally had a haircut. I used to have a teacher. He said, did you get a haircut? I got them all cut. This is a great dad bit, by the way. Except in your case, is it actually true? Yes, I told you because I got a haircut. I got a haircut. Cole says, what did Wood say yesterday? Don't try to be funny. Just tell us what you did and it's funny. There you go.
I got a haircut.
There is your proof right there. What did you do yesterday? I got a haircut. No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Don't lie to me.
What did you watch? What did you watch in the sport clip?
MLB Network was on.
Okay,
yeah.
You see anything good?
Actually, I saw Chris Russo was talking about Babe Ruth's diet. It was fascinating.
Was it?
I mean, I don't know where they found this information, but it was fascinating. Do you want me to tease this one, or do you want
literally
me to...
more than anything?
All right, yeah. We'll share at least what
Babe Ruth used to eat.
Mad Dog says that Babe Ruth in his prime used to eat every day on a game day. We'll set the menu coming up. As I said, A.J. Preller will join us coming up near the end of the program today. So we can all just get nervous and excited about that. I'm mostly nervous.
We've been talking to this guy for 6 effing years, and every time he comes on, I'm like, bleh.
He does not make me comfortable.
No, he hates us, too. That's why.
Tough person to talk to, but...
No.
I assume that he'll be in a fairly good mood after a bunch of wins, 5 wins in the last 6 games, a win yesterday, a trade that has been fairly well received by his own fan base. Probably a good day to talk to AJ, so we'll set the menu, come back, get things started. It's Tuesday. It's Ben and Woods. Glad to have you with us, San Diego Tier 1s. We've got Kelly with traffic, and then back in a minute here on 97.3 The Fan. So, yes, I was getting my hair cut.
A hair.
The hair. Cut yesterday. And Mad Dog Russo, MLB Network, I don't know where he gets his information, and he claims this is accurate, but Babe Ruth, in his prime, at his full peak of powers, best baseball player of his era, who knows, maybe all time. It's hard to really hard to compare the Bambino against modern day players, but certainly statistically, the difference between Babe and like the second best player in baseball was much, much bigger than anything that's come since.
No doubt.
Shohei Ohtani, amazing. But still, there are guys who are much closer to Shohei than there were to Babe Ruth back in the day.
Yeah, you're talking about a league where the league leader in home runs was like 8.
Yeah.
And then Babe Ruth comes in, it's 50.
I'm playing a different sport than the rest of you.
It's a different level.
The rest of you guys out there. And
50.
He said, this was documented. I don't know where. But
I believe I just found it. A sports writer in Detroit.
Oh, okay.
Once, so tracked this.
You found this. So what I heard him say was breakfast was 13 eggs and a pound of bacon and a loaf of bread.
I've got a different.
You've got a different one,
and
then
I've got one too.
And then 6 hot dogs once he got to the ballpark.
6.
After the game, a full dinner, whatever he chose, but like a big dinner after the game, which would be, you know, it's day game, so that's around, you know, 6-7 o'clock. And then before he went to bed, and his bedtime was 4 in the morning, he'd have a supper of sandwiches.
A supper of sandwiches.
Sandwiches plus. Like gallons of beer,
Coca-Cola,
soda pop,
yep,
bicarbonate, whatever that is, like soda water. I have no idea what that is.
Yep.
And then just jugs of iced tea that he would just down in like one entire gulp, you know, at a time. Giant jugs of iced tea.
The website that I found kind of broke it down. His breakfast, according to this website, was a hefty porterhouse steak.
No, I
piles of potatoes, piles,
piles,
a quart of bourbon and ginger ale, and an 18-egg omelet.
18-egg omelet.
Oh, my God.
Then his first snack of the day was 2 hot dogs and 2 Coca-Colas. His lunch was 2 raw steaks, 2 orders of potatoes, and a lettuce head with dressing. Snack number 2, 2 more hot dogs, 2 more Coca-Colas. And then for dinner, he had 2 porterhouse steaks, 2 lettuce heads, 2 cottage fried potatoes, and 2 orders of apple pie. And then for dessert, because the apple pie wasn't part of dinner.
I like that. I like
that's
that
part
plan.
Of the dinner.
It's like the hungry man little corner.
Yeah,
it's part of the dinner.
Part of the dessert.
Chocolate ice cream and pickled eels.
Okay. It would be, we've done the topic wheel before, and it was, what would your superpower be? Oh, I'd want to be invisible or time travel. No, that's it. I'd want to be able to eat anything I wanted with no fear of heart explosion, aging, death, because I love to eat. It's my new vice, my newest vice. And that's the one where it's like, no, I can't do this. I mean, I cannot suck down in and out a couple times a day. That would be my superpower. Eat what you want. Nothing, it's not going to affect you. Like, you can sit down and just chow. And I, you know, probably when given that superpower, you'd be like, I'm not even that hungry. I don't even want this. But it would be nice on those, the gluttonous times, to be able to crush any food you wanted with no repercussions.
Yeah, Zach asked, how was he not 500 pounds? What was Babe Ruth's weight?
Bro,
I mean, we know he was big.
I think we're all bigger than he was. I'm not kidding.
He's listed online at 6'2", 215 pounds.
6'2", 215?
I'm bigger than Babe Ruth. That's fantastic.
That's svelte.
100%.
No way.
That can't be.
That can't be right.
I mean, everything's saying 215 for most of his career.
But he doesn't look like he's 300 pounds.
He kind of does.
Not really.
He looks portly in most
he
of those pictures.
He looks portly, but like portly is not... You eat that diet, you shouldn't be just portly. What a glutton. Oh, my God. He was that way with everything, too. The women, the cigars, everything. The guy, and home runs. I mean, everything he did in extremes.
He only made it to 53, but then again, you know, medical advances of the day weren't nearly as good. So
the diet like that, it was cancer that got him, not even a heart attack or anything.
Yeah, crazy. That's interesting. I couldn't. My dad told me when he went to Notre Dame and walked on as a freshman and their training table meals was like that. They had to eat. He had to put on weight to play tight end. And he said he ate a dozen eggs and an entire loaf of bread, like every day. That's how you like fueled up for the day. I think they would have advised against that now.
Correct.
Yeah.
They probably would give you like protein shakes.
I've never been in a position where they're like, buddy, you need to add some weight. You need to start drinking these milkshakes every day. Never. I'm waiting for that diagnosis from the doctor. Woodsy, we We got to get you on some milkshakes, buddy. We got to fatten you up a little bit.
Told you, freshman year at San Diego State, my roommate was a wide receiver on the football team, and he had to gain weight. And for like 3 weeks, every time I saw him, he was eating just spoonfuls of peanut butter. He had like the Costco size thing of peanut butter, and he was just
that's
spoonfuls.
A job. That's not enjoyable. It was for work. That's a
and
job.
He was working out in the morning, crushing another jar of peanut butter, then go back to the gym and work out again.
By the way, Fernando Tatis Jr. is listed at 217 pounds. So, you know, there's Fernando, the guy who's just a little bit fatter than Babe Ruth.
He's got a couple inches on him.
He does have a couple of inches on him.
That's
yeah.
wild, man.
I don't think that's that big of a difference.
I'd say he's probably 235. He wasn't that big. I mean, he looked bigger on the midsection, but he had bird legs. He had legs like I do. Real skinny bird legs and kind of skinny arms. That's interesting. Thanks, Mad Dog, for the content.
Interesting topic for sure. All right, here's what we've got coming up on the show today. Obviously, we'll get into yesterday's win over the Cubs coming up, our Padres wrap up in the next segment, the 6-run inning, the bullpen nervousness at the end of the game, and Mike Schilt's usage. I saw some consternation from Padres fans about last night's game, but they did get the win. In our 7 o'clock hour, Take on Woods, Don't Do This, our regular segments, it is an Incorporator Tuesday. Jesse Agler will join us from the Windy City. We'll talk to the voice of the Padres. We'll give him his word. If you want to start chiming in on the YouTube chat or on our Twitter feed at Ben and Woods, come up with a weird, crazy vocabulary word that Jesse's going to have to work into tonight's broadcast at Wrigley Field Game 2 of the series. We'll have our Rindle Report at 9 o'clock. And then, as I said, A.J. Preller, Padres President of Baseball Operations, General Manager, will join us at 9:30, and will hold his feet to the fire after the Luis Arraez trade that everyone seems very, very happy about in San Diego right now. Although, does feel like they still need to add pitching.
Yeah,
and he left him some wiggle room.
Yeah.
In terms of the competitive balance tax, the luxury tax, that they could make a move at some point. Will that move come sooner, or will it come more traditionally closer to the deadline? I'm wondering. Rest assured, AJ will not tell
us. I was just going to say, you can ask all you want. He's not telling you. So quit asking.
Yeah, from our standpoint, you know, yeah, from we're our really standpoint, happy with yeah. our entire club. We're always looking to evaluate the roster.
Yeah.
We could do our own AJ interview before AJ's interview and then match them up to see how close we got.
Morning, guys.
Absolutely. Ever.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, no.
All right, let's get to yesterday's game. Our Padres wrap-up is coming up next. Some good highlights from Jesse. What a fun inning that sixth inning was for the San Diego Padres. That's just entertaining
that
baseball.
That was sexy right there, man.
Wasn't it, Woo. Though? That's coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station. 97.3 The Fan. Yeah, mostly good vibrations from Wrigley Field yesterday, and they did it. With Manny Machado getting a full day off, never needed to get off his feet, didn't really even need to take BP before the game. They got Manny a rest day.
Love it.
And still came up with a victory to open the series. And what we said yesterday, Woods, was an important and tough week again for the San Diego Padres. Two teams, the Cubs and the Dodgers, I think have the second and third most wins in the National League, at least going into the day yesterday. And you just feel like, okay, I mean, we both said 3-3 this week, we'd take that. You know, 3-3 is not a bad week against the Cubs and the Dodgers now.
Well, and especially the guys that you're drawing, you know, the Justin Steeles, the Shoto Imanagas of the world, the Wisniewski or whoever's throwing tomorrow, like, you know what you face in the Dodgers coming up this weekend. You saw their lineup. They hit four home runs a game now. That's their new thing. Absolutely. 3-3. Tough, you know, half of that done on the road. Yeah, man, I think that's a decent week.
Yeah, they got Walker Buehler back. Padres will likely see him over the weekend as well. So now you just need to go 2-3 the rest of the week to get what we were hoping at the end of the week. And who knows, maybe you can do a little bit better. I mean, today's game feels like one. We'll talk about it later, but you'd probably want to, like, steal when you're going with Randy Vasquez and, a bit of a bullpen day after what happened yesterday. That's... You know, advantage Cubs going into the game tonight. Sure. No doubt about that. That doesn't mean that the Padres will lose, but, you know, on paper, advantage Cubs in game two of the series. But you got game one, you got Dylan Cease going in game three. That's the recipe to try to win a series on the road against a good Chicago Cubs team. We'll go through the highlights and breakdown yesterday's 6-3 win in our Padres wrap up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres when you and Woods didn't?
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Got a lot of ways to do something productive here. Profar hitting .357 with runners in scoring position. Grounds this one up the middle into center and a base hit. Fernando has scored. Cronenworth's on his way. Crow Armstrong's throw the tag, not in time. Two-run single, Jurickson, Profar, and the Padres have the first runs of the night. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Bogaerts runs in a line drive into center field and a base hit. Warner was going to cover the bag, couldn't reach it. Profar will come in and score, and the Padres get another as the running game continues to assist the heat hitting game here in the sixth inning. Bases loaded, nobody down. 3-0 Padres. First pitch to Camposano, rocketed down the right field line. That's going to go to the corner. That's going to clear the bases. Bogaerts has scored. Solano has scored. Kim is on his way. He will score. A 3-run double for Camposano. And now a 6-0 Padre lead. Runner on second, one out for Morel. Swings at the first pitch. Skies one to deep left. Profar is back at the Ivy, looking up. Going to go just beyond the basket into the second or third row in left field. Morel with his 8th home run of the season. A 2-run shot here in the bottom of the 6th inning. And the Padre lead is now 6-2. One out, nobody on for Yan Gomes. Here's the 1-1 from Aniel De Los Santos. That's hit in the air to left field. Unbelievable. Yan Gomes has done it again. About halfway up the bleachers in left. His 2nd home run of the year. Both against the Padres. And now a 6-3 game in the 7th inning. Horner swings, pops it up. And a very shallow center. Kim backing up on the grass. He makes the catch. And the inning is over. No runs. A hit. And the Cubs leave them loaded. Go to the 9th at Wrigley. Right-handed batter. First pitch swinging in the air to deep right center. Long run, Merrill. He gets there on the track to make the catch. And the ball game is over. Robert Suarez, for the 2nd time this year, collects a 5-out save. And the Padres take game one at Wrigley by a final of 6-3.
Look, I give the credit for our guys, man. They were on point with what we were doing. And they picked the right counts to run on. And so I give the group a lot of credit. We've had a lot of big innings. And clearly it was a fun one because he did it in a lot of different ways. You know, like, you know, Toddy starts off the inning. Crony with a great approach, go the other way, boom, double steal, infield in, Profar.
We saw.
You know, drives it through.
We watched it.
Crony scores.
Yep.
And what I love about it is we don't stop, you know, and then Bogey first to third.
Yep.
Solano first to third, who has some great at bats tonight.
Yep.
And we get the base loaded, Campy with a nice approach.
Yep.
You know, everything.
Yeah, we watched it.
You have to hit everything the other way, but look where, our, you know, we got rewarded tonight by using the whole field. And so, you know, it's a great inning for a big 6 spot.
Schilt's play-by-play is my favorite bit of all time.
Like me, it's going through my golf round.
It really is.
Yes.
That's what it reminds
Except
me of.
At least none of you saw my golf round. We all saw the Padres game.
Like, if we were in the car together after your round, and you're like, I went driver down the middle, and then I hooked it around that tree.
Yeah,
and I had to hit that chip. I was there. I was right there next to you.
Well, I don't remember exactly what, I think it was Kevin Acey's question. It's always like, it's not, hey, tell us what happened in the 6th inning. It's,
correct.
Hey, you know.
Hey, that was
guys,
a fun one.
You guys have been living with those big innings.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Happened again. What were your thoughts? And he's just, well, you know, Toddy singled the right.
Single,
and then Crony reached on an infield
double
single
steal,
to short.
Profar comes up.
Toddy moved up to second.
It's my favorite.
And then Profar was up.
Then
and
again,
I really liked his approach when he singled the center and scored.
It's good.
If you are a beat writer and you want to take a day off, like, Hey, Mike, I actually didn't watch the game. Can you just let me know what happened first, Mike, and then I'll start asking questions?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, no problem. First guy comes up. He gets a nod. He's kind of floated in there. He's kind of lucky to get on. You know, and then Crony gets on, and then Profar comes up, and I love it. I think it's just fantastic. Fantastic. That was a good game. It was a little,
really cool.
A little closer than it needed to be, certainly. And
well, it was a baseball game. Padres, you know, they got shut down by Justin Steele early, who made his first start since pulling his hamstring on opening day trying to field a bunt. But
he looked good.
Was a good pitcher, just like he was last year. He looked good. Yu Darvish, for the second straight outing since coming off his stint on the injured list, goes five innings of shutout three-hit ball, just like he did last time out. I was wondering whether he might get a little bit of a longer leash. He threw 83 pitches, but clearly they're being careful with him.
So I think a couple things, right? The long inning.
Long inning.
The long
top
inning
of the
sixth. Is what maybe murdered Yu Darvish and the ability to go, which, by the way, Yu Darvish will trade, you know, 17 more pitches for six runs any day of the week. And I did think, and I think one thing we need to talk about this morning is, look, it doesn't just go to our you know, Twitter family. There was a lot of consternation, I think, about Mike Schilt's bullpen management. And there's been questions about his bullpen management all season, which, by the way, is not unique to the San Diego Padres. It's not unique to the LA Dodgers. It's not unique to the Houston. Name it. Name a team in baseball. The manager gets questioned for his bullpen management after runs are given up by the bullpen. Standard. No one questions bullpen management if there aren't runs given up. Really, never. I mean, if it's a 6-0 game, you know, what's there to question? Great job. You really managed the bullpen well tonight. And I think, you know, it like I said, it doesn't just fall on our Twitter family. It's like our boss, Adam, last night. We were in a long text thread with Adam, who was playing hindsight manager via text. And I was pushing back because the way my general philosophy is this about managing a bullpen. I'm going to go to my relievers when my starter is probably done. He's coming off the IL, right? Just one start since being off the IL, Ben. 6-run inning, lasted 20 minutes. Good. 83 pitches. You did your job. You got enough to qualify for the win. We got you a 6-spot. Let's go out there and let the bullpen hold it down for 4 more innings. We got enough guys down there that can do it.
Knowing, though, you're going to have to use some bullpen guys the next day.
Correct. Now, the interesting part to me is with Randy Vasquez on the mound today, Shoto Imanaga, who has not lost yet at the big league level, he's not even given up a full run per game at the big league level. He's nasty. In no world do I think the Padres will punt today and not try, but last night's game against Justin Steele, it was the game that you wanted to win. So you had to be a little aggressive, which is probably why you saw Yuki Matsui come out as your first reliever of the bullpen. Yuki Matsui's been really good this year. You don't want anything to get away. Like, you just don't. And you don't want to go down. If you're going to give up runs in the sixth inning and beyond, he went kind of reverse of what maybe he should have done and maybe what logic told us. Estrada may have been the better pick in the sixth instead of a high leverage in the eighth. That being said, he went aggressive. I'm not going to ever fault my manager for being aggressive and trying to win a game early. It's exactly what he did. And the problem is, where it can get away from you, is when your guys fail to execute.
Correct.
So I'm literally 99% of the time going to be on the manager's side. And it's not because I like Mike Schilt. It's not because I liked Bob Melvin, Jace Tingler, Andy Green, any manager. It's because when the pitchers execute, you look like a good bullpen manager. When they don't, you look like a bad one. It's very simple.
I think clearly this wasn't Mike Schilt's plan. He got up 6-0.
Right.
He saw an opportunity
to
take Yu Darvish out with a big lead. And my guess is he thought, okay, Yuki's been so efficient.
Yep.
When we put him in, gets outs very quickly.
8 pitches.
Probably going to give him 2 innings. He's going to throw, you know, 25 pitches. He's going to get 6 outs. Maybe we even add on. And then by the time we get to the, you know, 8th inning, I can put anybody
anybody
in for the last 2. We've got a huge lead. I can save my whole bullpen for tomorrow. Unfortunately, as you said, Yuki Matsui didn't come through with his end of the bargain, which was the quick outs. He walks the guy, and then he gives up the 2-run home run. And now, all of a sudden, you're worried Now we're about to let the Cubs back in this game. We cannot lose this game knowing we've got a bullpen-ish day tomorrow. We've already used Matsui today.
Correct.
Now I've got to just go all out to win. So in comes De Los Santos. Gets out of that inning, but when he comes back, he gives up a home run. All right, now I got to use another high-leverage guy in Wandy Peralta. Then
He was not good.
So we've seen what happens when Wandy's not good. Now, who do I have left? All right, well, Estrada's thrown well. Now he gets in trouble. And you have to go to Robert Suarez for the five-out save. That was not how he drew it up, I promise you. When he lined it up, like, okay, here, we're going to use him in this inning, this. No, that was not the plan. That was the improvisation after, you know, Matsui struggled in the sixth inning and let the Cubs get back into the game.
Yeah, what's the old Mike Tyson? Everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And when one of your most effective relievers this year gets tagged for two innings and can't find the zone, guess what happened? You just got punched in the mouth and your plan goes to crap. And again, it's rare that I'm going to come in here any day. I'm just forewarning you and say that game's on Mike Shildt. Any manager. That game's on so-and-so. Man, sure. Bob Melvin probably should have gone to Josh Hader instead of Robert Suarez against Bryce Harper. Just a tougher look, a tougher, you know, pitch mix from Hader to a lefty Bryce Harper. Yeah, that's one I'll do. And unless, Ben, Shildt is going in and dragging Eniel De Los Santos out five games in a row, overuse? Absolutely, man. Say, come on, dude. Like, you got to give these guys a breather. Now, I think that's a fair thing to talk about with Robert Suarez. Is he being overused? That's on him to tell Mike Shildt that, hey, man, like, there's only so many bullets that he has. You can't use him for a five-out save every day in May.
And he knows that. He said that after the game. He goes, we can't keep doing this. But in this instance, he was well-rested.
Very well.
And he ended up only throwing 20 pitches to get those five outs. That's not an insane workload.
He did not throw in Arizona.
Yeah, so he had been five days.
Yeah.
He had plenty of rest before that. So, you know, Mike Shildt felt he could be aggressive. I will say, I saw our friend Ryan Phillips tweet this, and I do tend to agree with one criticism. Bringing a lot of guys in, you know, in the middle of innings, like having them pitch the last out of one inning and then come back and pitch the first two or the last two and come back and pitch the first out, you know, very Tony La Russa-like in terms of one of Mike Shildt's mentors. But for the most part, I think relief pitchers are probably more comfortable when they warm up in the bullpen, come in to start the inning, get to warm up, you know, on the mound, get a fresh, clean inning with nobody on base, and they're responsible for it. When you bring in a Jeremiah Estrada in a high-leverage situation in the eighth inning, and you've already put a guy on base for him because Wandy Peralta has walked a batter, That is adding to the degree of difficulty and putting your relievers in position not to succeed, but possibly to fail. Now, Estrada, you know, ended up loading the bases. He did get that big strikeout. Yeah, mostly good vibrations from Wrigley Field yesterday. And they did it with Manny Machado getting a full day off. Never needed to get off his feet. Didn't really even need to take BP before the game. They got Manny a rest day.
Love it.
And still came up with a victory to open the series. And what we said yesterday, Woods, was an important and tough week again for the San Diego Padres. Two teams, the Cubs and the Dodgers, I think have the second and third most wins in the National League, at least going into the day yesterday. And you just feel like, okay, I mean, we both said 3-3 this week, we'd take that. You know, 3-3 is not a bad week against the Cubs and the Dodgers now.
Well, and especially the guys that you're drawing, you know, the Justin Steeles, the Shoto Imanagas
right.
of the world, the Wisniewski or whoever's throwing tomorrow. Like, you know what you face in the Dodgers coming up this weekend. You saw their lineup. They hit four home runs a game now. That's their new thing. Absolutely. 3-3, tough, you know. Half of that done on the road. Yeah, man, I think that's a decent week.
Yeah, they got Walker Buehler back. Padres will likely see him over the weekend as well. So now you just need to go 2-3 the rest of the week
yeah.
to get what we were hoping at the end of the week. And who knows, maybe you can do a little bit better. I mean, today's game feels like one. We'll talk about it later, but you'd probably want to like steal when you're going with Randy Vasquez and
yeah,
you know a bit of a bullpen day after what happened yesterday. That's, you know, advantage Cubs going into the game tonight.
Sure.
No doubt about that. That doesn't mean that the Padres will lose, but, you know, on paper, advantage Cubs in game two of the series. But you got game one, you got Dylan Cease going in game three. That's the recipe to try to win a series on the road against a good Chicago Cubs team. We'll go through the highlights and breakdown yesterday's 6-3 win in our Padres wrap up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres when you Woods didn't?
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres wrap-up presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino. Fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Got a lot of ways to do something productive here. Profar hitting .357 with runners in scoring position. Grounds this one up the middle into center and a base hit. Fernando has scored. Cronenworth's on his way. Crow Armstrong's throw the tag, not in time. Two-run single, Jurickson, Profar, and the Padres have the first runs of the night. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Bogaerts runs in a line drive into center field and a base hit. Warner was going to cover the bag, couldn't reach it. Profar will come in and score, and the Padres get another as the running game continues to assist the hitting game here in the sixth inning. Bases loaded, nobody down. 3-0 Padres. First pitch to Camposano, rocketed down the right field line. That's going to go to the corner. That's going to clear the bases. Bogaerts has scored. Solano has scored. Kim is on his way. He will score. A 3-run double for Camposano, and now a 6-0 Padre lead. Runner on second, one out for Morel. Swings at the first pitch. Skies one to deep left. Profar is back at the Ivy, looking up. Going to go just beyond the basket into the second or third row in left field. Morel with his 8th home run of the season. A 2-run shot here in the bottom of the 6th inning. And the Padre lead is now 6-2. One out, nobody on for Yan Gomes. Here's the 1-1 from Aniel De Los Santos. That's hit in the air to left field. Unbelievable. Yan Gomes has done it again. About halfway up the bleachers in left. His 2nd home run of the year. Both against the Padres. And now a 6-3 game in the 7th inning. Horner swings, pops it up. And a very shallow center. Kim backing up on the grass. He makes the catch. And the inning is over. No runs, a hit. And the Cubs leave them loaded. Go to the 9th at Wrigley. Right-handed batter. First pitch swinging in the air to deep right center. Long run, Merrill. He gets there on the track to make the catch. And the ball game is over. Robert Suarez, for the 2nd time this year, collects a 5-out save, and the Padres take game one at Wrigley by a final of 6-3.
I give the credit for our guys, man. They were on point with what we were doing, and they picked the right counts to run on, and so I give the group a lot of credit. We've had a lot of big innings, and clearly it was a fun one because he did it in a lot of different ways, you know, like, you know, Toddy starts off the inning. Crony was a great approach, go the other way, boom, double steal, infield in, Profar.
We saw.
You know, drives it through.
We watched it.
Crony scores.
Yep.
You know, what I love about it is we don't stop, you know, and then Bogey first to third.
Yep.
Solano first to third, who has some great at bats tonight.
Yep.
And we get the base loaded, Campy with a nice approach.
Yep.
You know, everything.
Yeah, we watched it.
You have to hit everything the other way, but look where, you know, we got rewarded tonight by using the whole field. And so, you know, it's a great inning for a big 6 spot.
Schilt's play-by-play is my favorite bit of all time.
Like me, it's going through my golf round.
It really is.
Yes.
That's what it reminds
Except
me of.
At least none of you saw my golf round. We all saw the Padres game.
Like, if we were in the car together after your round, and you're like, I went driver down the middle, and then I hooked it around that tree.
Yeah.
And I had to hit that chip. I was there. I was right there next to you.
Well, I don't remember exactly what, I think it was Kevin Acey's question. It's always like, it's not, hey, tell us what happened in the 6th inning. It's,
correct.
Hey, you know,
hey, that was
guys,
a fun one.
You guys have been living with those big innings.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Happened again. What were your thoughts? And he's just, well, you know, Toddy singled the right.
Single,
and then Crony reached on an infield
double
single
steal,
to short.
Profar comes up.
Toddy moved up to 2nd.
It's my favorite.
And then Profar was up.
Then
and
again,
I really liked his approach when he singled the center and scored.
It's good.
If you are a beat writer and you want to take a day off, like, hey, Mike, I actually didn't watch the game. Can you just... Let me know what happened first, Mike, and then I'll start asking questions.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, no problem. First guy comes up. He gets a nod. It's kind of floated in there. He's kind of lucky to get on. You know, and then Crony gets on, and then Profar comes up, and I love it. I think it's just fantastic. Fantastic. That was a good game. It was a little,
really cool.
Little closer than it needed to be, certainly. And
well, it was a baseball game. Padres, you know, they got shut down by Justin Steele early, who made his first start since pulling his hamstring on opening day trying to field a bunt. But
he looked good.
Was a good pitcher, just like he was last year. He looked good. Yu Darvish, for the second straight outing since coming off his stint on the injured list, goes five innings of shutout three-hit ball, just like he did last time out. I was wondering whether he might get a little bit of a longer leash. He threw 83 pitches, but clearly they're being careful with him.
So I think a couple things, right? The long inning.
Long inning.
The long
top
inning
of the
is what maybe murdered Yu Darvish and the ability to go. Which, by the way, Yu Darvish will trade, you know, 17 more pitches for six runs any day of the week. I think one thing we need to talk about this morning is, look, it doesn't just go to our you know, Twitter family. There was a lot of consternation, I think, about Mike Schilt's bullpen management, and there's been questions about his bullpen management all season, which, by the way, is not unique to the San Diego Padres. It's not unique to the LA Dodgers. It's not unique to the Houston. Name it. Name a team in baseball. The manager gets questioned for his bullpen management after runs are given up by the bullpen. Standard. No one questions bullpen management if there aren't runs given up. Really, never. I mean, if it's a 6-0 game, you know, what's there to question? Great job. You really managed the bullpen well tonight. And I think, you know, it like I said, it doesn't just fall on our Twitter family. It's like our boss, Adam, last night. We were in a long text thread with Adam, who was playing hindsight manager via text. And I was pushing back because the way... My general philosophy is this about managing a bullpen. I'm going to go to my relievers when my starter is probably done. He's coming off the IL, right? Just one start since being off the IL, Ben. Six-run inning, lasted 20 minutes. Good. 83 pitches. You did your job. You got enough to qualify for the win. We got you a six spot. Let's go out there and let the bullpen hold it down for four more innings. We got enough guys down there that can do it.
Knowing, though, you're going to have to use some bullpen guys the next day.
Correct. Now, the interesting part to me is with Randy Vasquez on the mound today, Shoto Imanaga, who has not lost yet at the big league level, he's not even given up a full run per game at the big league level. He's nasty. In no world do I think the Padres will punt today and not try, but last night's game against Justin Steele, it was the game that you wanted to win. So you had to be a little aggressive, which is probably why you saw Yuki Matsui come out as your first reliever of the bullpen. Yuki Matsui's been really good this year. You don't want anything to get away. Like, you just don't. And you don't want to go down. If you're going to give up runs in the sixth inning and beyond, he went kind of reverse of what maybe he should have done and maybe what logic told us. Estrada may have been the better pick in the sixth instead of a high leverage in the eighth. That being said, he went aggressive. I'm not going to ever fault my manager for being aggressive and trying to win a game early. It's exactly what he did. And the problem is, where it can get away from you, is when your guys fail to execute.
Correct.
So I'm literally 99% of the time going to be on the manager's side. And it's not because I like Mike Schilt. It's not because I liked Bob Melvin, Jace Tingler, Andy Green, any manager. It's because when the pitchers execute, you look like a good bullpen manager. When they don't, you look like a bad one. It's very simple.
I think clearly this wasn't Mike Schilt's plan. He got up 6-0.
Right.
He saw an opportunity
to
take Yu Darvish out with a big lead. And my guess is he thought, okay, Yuki's been so efficient.
Yep.
When we put him in, gets outs very quickly.
8 pitches.
Probably going to give him 2 innings. He's going to throw, you know, 25 pitches. He's going to get 6 outs. Maybe we even add on. And then by the time we get to the, you know, 8th inning, I can put anybody
anybody
in for the last 2. We've got a huge lead. I can save my whole bullpen for tomorrow. Unfortunately, as you said, Yuki Matsui didn't come through with his end of the bargain, which was the quick outs. He walks the guy, and then he gives up the 2-run home run. And now, all of a sudden, you're worried. Now we're about to let the Cubs back in this game. We cannot lose this game, knowing We've got a bullpen-ish day tomorrow. We've already used Matsui today.
Correct.
Now I've got to just go all out to win. So in comes De Los Santos. Gets out of that inning, but when he comes back, he gives up a home run. All right, now I got to use another high-leverage guy in Wandy Peralta. Then
he was not good.
He was not good. So we've seen what happens when Wandy's not good. Now who do I have left? All right, well, Estrada's thrown well. Now he gets in trouble. And you have to go to Robert Suarez for the five-out save. That was not how he drew it up, I promise you. When he lined it up, like, okay, here, we're going to use him in this inning, this. No, that was not the plan. That was the improvisation after, you know, Matsui struggled in the sixth inning and let the Cubs get back into the game.
Yeah, what's the old Mike Tyson? Everyone has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. And when one of your most effective relievers this year gets tagged for two innings and can't find the zone, guess what happened? You just got punched in the mouth and your plan goes to crap. And again, it's rare that I'm going to come in here any day. I'm just forewarning you and say that game's on Mike Shildt. Any manager. That game's on so-and-so. Man, sure. Bob Melvin probably should have gone to Josh Hader instead of Robert Suarez against Bryce Harper. Just a tougher look, a tougher, you know, pitch mix from Hader to a lefty Bryce Harper. Yeah, that's one I'll do. And unless, Ben, Shildt is going in and dragging Eniel De Los Santos out five games in a row, overuse? Absolutely, man. Say, come on, dude. Like, you got to give these guys a breather. Now, I think that's a fair thing to talk about with Robert Suarez. Is he being overused? That's on him to tell Mike Shildt that, hey, man, like, there's only so many bullets that he has. You can't use him for a five-out save every day in May.
And he knows that. He said that after the game. He goes, we can't keep doing this, but in this instance, he was well-rested.
Very well.
And he ended up only throwing 20 pitches to get those five outs. That's not an insane workload.
He did not throw in Arizona.
Yeah, so he had been five days.
Yeah.
He had plenty of rest before that. So, you know, Mike Shildt felt he could be aggressive. I will say, I saw our friend Ryan Phillips tweet this, and I do tend to agree with one criticism. Bringing a lot of guys in, you know, in the middle of innings, like having them pitch the last out of one inning and then come back and pitch the first two or the last two and come back and pitch the first out. You know, very Tony La Russa-like in terms of one of Mike Shildt's mentors. But for the most part, I think relief pitchers are probably more comfortable when they warm up in the bullpen, come in to start the inning, get to warm up, you know, on the mound, get a fresh, clean inning with nobody on base, and they're responsible for it. When you bring in a Jeremiah Estrada in a high-leverage situation in the eighth inning, and you've already put a guy on base for him because Wandy Peralta has walked a batter, That is adding to the degree of difficulty and putting your relievers in position not to succeed, but possibly to fail. Now, Estrada, you know, ended up loading the bases. He did get that big strikeout, that first out of the eighth inning with the bases loaded, that then allowed Shildt to go to Suarez, who got the strikeout pop-up to escape the eighth inning before getting, you know, the save in the ninth. So it worked out little dangerously, but ultimately they got the win, and that was the most important thing yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you know, you had to be aggressive last night. If you were going to be aggressive, that was the game to do it. Again, based on the matchup today and based on who you've got going the day after that. You do feel like when you get that first one, we can absolutely win this series with Dylan Cease on the bump. I'm not saying Randy Vasquez can't go out and be effective today with Adrian Morejone backing him up and Stephen Kolak and whoever else you're going to use today, but it's definitely more of the B team, you know, as far as bullpen arms available today, which is fine. Every team runs into that. Every team's going to have those games like that. But, you know, to watch a move happen and then go, that was the wrong move, I got to tell you, it makes my hair fall out. You know, it really makes my hair fall out to every single day. Like, well, I would have gone to so-and-so there. Well, yeah, after he gave up runs, if Mike Shildt knew Yuki Matsui was going to give up two runs, he wouldn't have used him. He wouldn't have used him. So, again, the players execute. Mike Shildt looks like a genius. They don't. He looks like a moron. That's the nature of the business, man. And so that's where I will always fall. I'm going to tell you right now. You're rarely going to get me in here going, oh, that's on the skipper. No, man. That's on the guys that you called upon to get outs that don't get outs. That's their job. And as far as the clean inning thing goes, man, I don't. All I know is this. You go out, you throw seven pitches, you get an out. hey, man, can you give me one more batter? Can you get, you got a lefty coming up. Can you give me one more batter? Yeah, I got you. I doubt very much that they're going out there against their will. Like, oh, man, I can't do this. I just threw seven pitches. He wants me to come out and throw eight more?
Bullpen usage is the ultimate hindsight fan media criticism, because when you go with your higher leverage guys early, and whether they succeed or fail, you go, well, why didn't you save him for later?
Right.
When you save them for later, you
why'd
go,
why'd you leave him?
Why didn't you, well, you had such a good guy. Why didn't you pitch him earlier right. in the game when, you know, you let the other team get back into it? You are always open for criticism, even when your team succeeds.
Like last night.
Well, you won, but you could have handled that a little bit better and saved yourself better for the next day. Managers don't have the luxury of the hindsight of knowing what's going to happen. Like I said, I'm sure Mike Shildt envisioned a scenario where Yuki Matsui got him two innings there.
Yeah.
And he probably only needed to use two relievers total out of his pen.
Correct.
Save a bunch of guys to be fresh for today. And it didn't work out that way. But the most important thing was getting the win. And they did get the win.
100%,
as nerve-wracking as it was, they got the victory. And Robert Suarez has been much better than I even had hoped for at this point in the season.
He's been a dream come true. And again, the ability, the willingness, the want to take the ball, he's unflappable. Like, give it to me. I got it. I'll take it. No fanfare, no nothing. Just goes out and chucks fastballs and gets out. He's unreal.
Tied for the major league lead now with 11 saves on the season. I haven't really talked about the offense, the big inning, the good things that we're seeing from the Padres consistently now up and down the lineup. We'll talk about that when we come back and then play a little take on Woods. Let's go. It is hour number two coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.